Welcome back. This is Take Charge of Your Health with Corinne Frenari, clinical nutritionist and physician assistant, and my co-host, Carol Peterson, pharmacist. Every week, we present you with new and creative ways to help you make sense of health information and bring it home to you and your family. With years of clinical experience between us and research into traditional and cutting-edge technologies, we give you practical information to help you take charge of your health. Welcome back. Welcome back. I'm here on this beautiful day with my co-host. Hi, Carol. Well, maybe not yet, but she'll be here shortly. We have a very interesting show today, and this show will touch many of you, so we would very much like your input. The number to call.
I should be on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, perfectly.
Okay, now. Great. Good.
Hi.
Hi.
What a day. This is why I love spring. It's gorgeous. So what a nice afternoon to talk about this subject that's so close to so many of us and has this amazing influence on our health. And we're going to go on into a deep dive into this subject. And it's also Carol's favorite subject, but we've touched on it and gone into it before, but today is a deep dive so you can really understand what you're dealing with and utilize it in your own health program and literally change your life. And we'll give examples because I've worked with people and Carol's worked with people that they were transformed. So the number to call is 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. And so today we're speaking about progesterone and the quality of our health, the quality of our life, the quality and stability of our moods, migraines, pain. It goes on, swelling, discomfort, bloating, and an inability to cope, and insomnia, and an inability to cope with many of the problems that we deal with in our lives. And yet, so often, it has such a simple answer, and it's being overlooked. But it's not an accidental overlook. It's a very conscious overlooked. Carol, can you explain some of that to us?
Yes, I just put together a blog on my website, the Wellness by Design Project. You can read it there. But this started because I got an email from a woman, Gemma Banks, from the UK. And this is what she says. Firstly, I'd like to say thank you for everything you do and the information you have given so freely to the public about your work. I personally have suffered from PMDD, and that's premenstrual dysphoric disorder. That's what the initials stand for. Since the age of 15, she had postnatal depression at 19 and then suffered extremely severely for a further 10 years with no acknowledgement of a hormone connection. By the age of 35, I had a total hysterectomy and ovary removal. Now 39. Since surgery, there's been further medical neglect. And so I set up a UK support group for women in surgical menopause with a history of PMDD that were still struggling post-surgically. The surgery did not cure the condition, and we have been left to suffer the outcomes with no advice or support. A small group of us have recently been adding back progesterone at high doses, as per your guidelines and advice on your articles and YouTube videos, with huge capital letters, transformational results. We have never felt so well. Obviously, this revelation will come as a bit of a shock to the women in my support group, as they believe that the reason for the surgery was to eradicate the need for progesterone and add back hormones. You're going to avoid progesterone at all costs. So Gemma Banks and I did a podcast together. You'll also find it on that blog. But the long and the short of it is that women with this diagnosis, PMDD, have been deliberately taught to avoid progesterone at all costs. They are told that they are somehow sensitive to progesterone and absolutely need to avoid it, including all the way to surgery to take out your ovaries. Now, there are women that are sensitive to progesterone, particularly when you use tiny doses. And that's been one of the things I've put on my podcasts and various writing, that you have to use enough progesterone for your needs. And actually, the small doses can make you feel worse. So I was rather taken aback by this. I hadn't been thinking about PMDD in a long time. PMDD, when I first started in this whole world of hormones, which was over 30 years ago, with a focus on PMS. PMS was coined by a Dr. Katarina Dalton, also in the UK. And she herself suffered from what she named PMS severely. Symptoms can get very severe. You can get even homicidal and suicidal and extreme headaches. So Katarina Dalton pioneered the use of progesterone, which is a hormone that needs to go up, should be very high in the luteal phase, second part of the menstrual cycle, and just wasn't making it for a lot of women. So the first part of my career was using lots and lots of progesterone. If you're talking about milligrams, I've seen women use 2,500 milligrams of progesterone for severe symptoms. And contrast this to today, when women are told they need 20 or 30 milligrams of progesterone. So, Corinne, about that time I met you.
Exactly. When I had gone to...
The PMS times.
I heard about it and flew to California for a seminar with Dr. Lee, and it was revolutionary to hear him speak. It was so unique, but he was talking about 20 milligrams a day for women, but he was talking about progesterone, and that was so unique. We had never really heard of progesterone. We had never really heard of it before in terms of utilizing it for balancing women's health. And he even wrote books about it. But his doses were in the 20-milligram dose. Remember, Carol?
Yes, I do.
But even with that dose, we got some positive results.
Yeah, if your need for progesterone was relatively low, you could get some good results. However, during that time, right about then, Dr. Whitaker, do you remember Dr. Whitaker?
Yes,
had a newsletter?
Julian Whitaker.
So he had written in his newsletter about progesterone, and he wrote about a product that Dr. Lee was promoting. It was called Progest. It had 16 milligrams in about a quarter teaspoon dose. And at Women's International Pharmacy, where I was working, we were compounding these multiple levels of progesterone, very high doses, for these severe PMS cases. We didn't even have Progest in our pharmacy. We soon got it because people connected us with it because he mentioned us. So this Progest, we immediately started running into problems because people did call us and want some Progest because Dr. Whitaker recommended it. And to our amazement at the time, many women called back and said they were miserable. They could be feeling worse rather than better. While at the same time, with our severe PMS cases, women had access to lots of progesterone. They may take 400 milligrams in capsules, 100 milligrams four times a day was the standard starting dose. But for some women, we used creams and gels and rectal solutions and vaginal suppositories. Katarina Dalton herself used vaginal suppositories at 600 milligrams to start with.
She went into prisons and started treating women who had been accused of violent crimes and giving them progesterone. Their personalities changed. And they became calmer, and their menstrual symptoms and menstrual pain was relieved. She also, and people would sleep better. The whole balance of the group had changed because you didn't have so many angry, literally violent women any longer. Those women that were then on progesterone. I have a personal case where I had a woman who came into my office, and she was a pretty well-known producer of film. And she came to me and she said, you know, this was one of my first cases. And she came to me and said, you know, when I go right before my period, it's like someone takes over my body. I start going crazy. I really can't stop myself. I watch myself screaming and yelling. I can't sleep. I become severely constipated and bloated, and I feel horrible when it's over. But when it's happening, I just watch it happen. It's like I'm being taken over once a month. And so I just said, well, and she was leaving to do a film. So it's always right away and I'm leaving. So I couldn't supervise her. So I gave her progesterone, and not even as high as I wanted to go. But I felt like she needed some to get through this period that was going to be happening in 2 weeks while she was away. So I think I gave her 200 milligrams. She called me up. And she said, I can't believe it. She said, something has happened. I said, what? Are you okay? Because I was worried about her. Supervising her, she said, my period came and I didn't even know it was coming. And that was with 200 milligrams. And that woman suffered so much. Her bowels were normal. She was sleeping. She wasn't in pain. And it wasn't like she wasn't going into this psychosis of severe anger and inability to cope. That was pretty exciting, and that was my first case. After that, I really got a feel for it and started working with progesterone much more intensely. Carol?
I just listened to a documentary. As you mentioned, Katarina Dalton did get involved in some legal cases. In fact, she wrote a book about it. You can find that, too. And documentary was actually an interview with the first case that Dr. Katarina Dalton intervened with.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was very. So this woman is talking about what happened to her. And she had been an excellent child, and she was modeling, and she took dance lessons, and was an excellent dancer, and wanted to make a career of it. And then all of a sudden, her life just fell apart. She had lovely long hair. She cut her hair off. She could no longer dance. She couldn't sleep. She started hating herself. And what got her into prison was she tried burning down the family house twice.
Oh, gosh.
And the second time, her mother actually was in the house, so they charged her with felony, attempted murder. And so her dad, she was very close with her dad, and her dad told her, and in fact, in prison, they had to put her in solitary because she would act out so violently. So her dad came to see her, and he could only see her through the slit that they passed food through. And he said, "Don't worry, I'm never going to give up on you."
Wow,
and
by
some small chance, he happened on Dr. Dalton's work. And he went right over to the hospital she was working at and asked to see her and talk to her and asked if she would take a look at his daughter. By this time, she had been evaluated. Something like a dozen psychiatrists evaluated her and said she was criminally insane. And so Dr. Dalton comes along, and here's something she really had to thank her mom for, was her mom kept a diary and tracked her behavior because it was so erratic. So after a while looking at the mom's notes, she had excellent documentation that she was just fine for half the month, and the other half of the month she seemed criminally insane. So Dr. Dalton, and in fact, she was already being heavily drugged as well. And Dr. Dalton says, take away all these psychiatric drugs, and wow, you have to have progesterone. And just as you mentioned with your patients, just a few doses. And she said, suddenly I felt my normal self, just amazing. And she was then reevaluated by those same psychiatrists. They couldn't believe the difference in her. And so she came to trial. Dr. Dalton came and testified in her defense. And they had all the good records from her mom. And they had the pre and post documents from the psychiatrist who had seen her. And she was found not guilty because of biomedical reasons.
Well, that's really an amazing story. And it's funny because when I started working with hormones, this was right before and right after the Women's Health Initiative study, where everybody was told that hormones were dangerous, and particularly progesterone. They said particularly progesterone was particularly dangerous for breast cancer, for cardiovascular disease, for anxiety. Well, they were 100% wrong because they really didn't know the difference.
Well, they didn't use progesterone in the women's health initiative.
Exactly. But yet when they reported it, even when they wrote it up, they switched from progestin, which is a synthetic, which we know creates anxiety and creates spasms, and vascular spasms, and is an agonist and blocks natural progesterone receptors. So you get none of the benefits of natural progesterone, and yet the receptors are being blocked. And so women would come to me and they were afraid. They were afraid and they didn't know which way to go. So I had some very stressed women coming to the office. I remember one day my front desk comes walking in my room and says, "There's a new patient. Get her on hormones quick." Because what we would see would be such a transformation. Their personalities would change. And I would see that throughout my practice. I had a psychiatrist who would refer to me his patients, because he said when patients worked with me and went into hormone balance, he said that anything, what we talked about would hold. Whereas when their hormones were out of balance, we could go into very deep discoveries, but nothing would hold. They would be back like it hadn't even happened the next week. So he would recommend, highly recommend, that all his patients come to me for hormone balance while he was working with them. And he said he got so much better response. And a large portion of that was progesterone and balancing their progesterone. Go on, Carol.
So now I'd like to talk about conspiracy.
Oh.
So then we have a drug, Prozac, and it's called an SSRI, specific serotonin reuptake inhibitor. And it was used as an antidepressant, supposed to raise your body's serotonin. Well, Prozac was going off patent, and the drug was made by Eli Lilly. And if you take a look at my blog article, there is a reference. There's a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter did a study on what went on with the invention of PMDD. So this was in the late 90s when Prozac was a drug looking for another disease so they could get another drug approval from the FDA. And in fact, they organized, this is very unusual, they organized a meeting with some FDA people and a few other doctors. And the intent of the meeting the intent of the meeting was to show that these SSRI drugs, these class of antidepressants, had potential to treat what they called PMDD. So from the cluster of symptoms, and Corinne, you mentioned them very well, they would take the emotional ones and call them PMDD, and they would have a drug for it. They did conduct a study with Prozac, and they determined, with a lower dose than was used as an antidepressant, and the results of the study that they produced was something like 61% of the women in the study had some benefit from the SSRI. However, this is up against progesterone, which pretty much took care of everything. So what they did was actually seek out approval from the FDA for this drug, for the SSRI. Three companies were involved in the end, and as the prime treatment for this new disease that they invented. Well, the drugs were pre-approved. Before there was a disease, the FDA had already approved these drugs. So the Prozac version was called Seraphim. Another really odd thing is if you put somebody on Prozac, they would tell you, you have to take it for some weeks or months before you get the full benefit as an antidepressant. And for some strange reason, they were saying, oh, with the Seraphim, the new relabeled Prozac, you just need to take it during the luteal phase of your cycle.
So you're not getting the full dose of it?
No, you're not getting the full dose. And I don't know how, on one hand, they say you don't really get results till you've been using it for some time. And then the same drug relabeled say, oh, you only need to use it half a month rather than a full month. It's very bizarre to me. But nonetheless, that's what happened. And so after that, they set about making it a disease. And eventually, with their collaborations, and most of them paid by Eli Lilly and two other drug companies, they got this new disease into the DSM, and that's a handbook for mental health disorders. And there's no real tests for PMDD. They just have like 11 questions about your monthly experiences with essentially PMS. So it's very unscientific, but that's what they did. They made a new disease after it was approved by the FDA when no disease existed. And then, so this happened. Now, if you look up PMDD on Wikipedia, so SSRIs are considered the gold standard. If you have trouble during the luteal phase of your menstrual cycle, your doctor might tell you you have PMDD, and the first choice of medication is the SSRIs, the antidepressant drugs. If that doesn't work, and it mostly doesn't, then they may put you on birth control pills. So the birth control pills suppress ovulation, so you can't make progesterone with the ovaries, and they also have synthetic progestins which block your progesterone receptors. You have to do anything to get rid of the progesterone because, after all, you're sensitive to it. So if that doesn't work,
no.
Then do you want to say something about that?
Well, I wanted to change it a little bit because I wanted to discuss why we're in such a dysphoric mess in terms of our hormones. I wanted to discuss where some of that came from. And one is the liver. We are not cleansing and detoxing through the liver that we should be, because our liver is so overworked. So many of the people have fatty livers. Fatty liver is a diagnosis where the liver is not functioning correctly. And what happens is the hormones go into the liver to be bound by amino acids and then go into the bowel and then excrete it. It's our way of our body balancing our hormones. But what happens is our liver is not able to carry the load of all the toxins and all the hormones. But then there's another piece of this. Much of our progesterone not only is made and stimulated by the ovaries and the ovum, it's also made through pregnenolone. So what happens is pregnenolone is a base hormone. It's mostly cholesterol. And then it is made into progesterone and cortisol. So if we're under very high stress, our body will then shift, not make the progesterone that we need, and direct it into cortisol so we have the fight or flight stress hormone so we can survive in our lives. We also find that we don't sleep as well. So melatonin isn't released in the same way. It's a cascade of stress, dysfunction, hormonal dysfunction. And one of the major effects is a lowering of progesterone. And that's what we see in our office all the time. I discussed this before because this was a very serious thing when COVID happened. I finally got a call from my daughter that for 10 weeks she had been bleeding very, very heavily. And the doctor wanted her to go to the hospital. Well, the hospitals were backed up. They weren't letting anybody in. And she also had COVID. So there, she was really in a dangerous position. She was pouring blood. She couldn't stop her bleeding, and she had COVID. So one of the first things I did to build her up and strengthen her is I put her on progesterone. I put her on 200 milligrams three times a day, and her bleeding slowed down for the first time in 2.5 months. And then I raised it up to 800 milligrams. And now it was just slight discharge. And then I raised it up to 1,000. And at 1,000, her bleeding stopped. And then we were, consequently, we were able to deal and treat the COVID simultaneously. But we couldn't have done anything if she was pouring, bleeding daily. And it was amazing to both of us and how effective this was to stop the bleeding. And she had been going to an OBGYN twice a week because he really felt her life was being threatened by this heavy, heavy bleeding. But yet
didn't know what to do about it, and it's so simple.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay, I want to finish some of the other trends. If you're diagnosed with PMDD, there's some drugs that block your pituitary hormones, which stimulate your sex hormone production. So they'll use those drugs to, again, try to stop you from making progesterone. And then the final solution, the worst solution.
You have no sex drive.
Yeah. The worst solution is to go ahead and have a hysterectomy, including the ovaries, of course, because the ovaries would stimulate progesterone production. You can't have that with all of this. And I'm glad you brought up the heavy bleeding thing, because that's also such a big progesterone deficiency symptom. And our conventional medicine offers women hysterectomies all the time, which are completely unnecessary because it's so treatable. So just a few weeks of the higher dose progesterone stop the bleeding entirely, as your daughter experienced, and that's my experience too. If I can speak to somebody and encourage them to use progesterone before they go and have surgery, then we're way ahead of the game. And then, to make matters worse, after they have surgery and you had your ovaries removed, doctors give you estrogen only. Like, ovaries were making estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, DHEA, probably making a lot more things. It's like a frontier we haven't really explored thoroughly. We don't know all the things the uterus and the ovaries actually do. It's much more than we think.
I'm going to ask people to call in 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Tell us your experiences. Tell us how you were treated. Tell us what you did in your home to create changes. I would very much appreciate that. 212-209-2877. Go on, Carol.
Okay, so where was I? I don't even remember. Oh, it's is having surgeries all the time and just getting estradiol back, or maybe some other estrogen, not an estrogen like Premarin, just estrogens mostly for horses. So we have this whole medical system is really mucked up because we create certain hormones like progesterone, but if you start reading the literature, you run into all these studies. They may call the substance progesterone, but what they've actually used in a study was an altered progesterone molecule. You really should say progestin when you're doing this, but medical studies actually have this all confused, or they lump progesterone in with other progestins when the activity is as different as night and day, and it just simply is not right. Well, they do the same thing with estrogens. We have, I don't know how many estrogens, there are a lot, but the major three is estradiol, estrone, estriol. Yep, so we sometimes test for these, but there are many, many more. And they do studies like, they've done studies like compare oral estrogen, but the oral estrogen was Premarin, not estradiol, against putting estradiol on your skin in a patch or in a cream. And so that shouldn't even be published. That's so much garbage. But they
Premarin is a horse urine estrogen, and it's mostly estrone, and is not, many of the estrogens in the Premarin are not human. They're not absorbable by the human body, and so the takes the body over 13 weeks to break down and get out of the system. So you're building up these estrogens that are not natural to your body, that are overstimulating your body. And here, then they're making comparisons and trying to compare that with natural estrogens. Go on, yep. Carol.
The estradiol that belongs in your body, or is your body is used to having it. So you have a lot of these studies published, which are kind of garbage, and to find one with estradiol orally and estradiol on the skin should be done, could be done. There are a couple, and all the dangers they warned you about using estradiol orally was because of these studies with Premarin, not estradiol. Some of the things I saw were equivocal, but some of them were that there was no comparison with what Premarin did. We have a caller.
We have four callers, so I'm going to ask you, please, hold on, and we will get to you. It might take a little bit, but we'll get to you. Hi, you're live on BAI.
Hello. Thank you so much for your excellent program. I want to say to you, I'm kind of lost, estrogen, estradiol, and what have you. The only thing that really struck a little familiar to me is the information you gave, Corrine, on the liver and how it all starts in the first place.
Well,
I would very much like you to focus on the fundamentals of how things manifest. It will give, just as you say, a feeling for the average listener to take charge of their health. And because of what you said about the liver, I'm going to get on the computer and see what kind of juicing and other things I can do.
That's essential also. And it's very interesting because I did the same thing you're talking about. I went on the internet. And how naturally we can build our progesterone. Now, it depends on how severe people are.
Yes.
If they're as severe as my daughter, I would not take that chance and wait that long, because it takes longer for natural remedies. But there was a naturopath on the internet talking about how you can support progesterones through adrenal adaptogens. that was very interesting because that's exactly what I was talking about earlier. And they were talking about ashwagandha, which is a very popular herb in India and actually throughout the world. And it's an adaptogen. So if your adrenals are weak, it supports them. If they're hyper, it'll relax them. That's an adaptogen. And then holy basil, that's really well known here for balancing progesterone. Then Siberian ginseng, another adaptogen. All of these are Schisandra. Schisandra is a little berry that's specific for the liver, for balancing the liver. Rhodiola. Rhodiola is another one of those powerful adaptogens that if you're hyper, it helps you. And if you're, if you are weak, it supports you. But then there's another one that I really love, and it's called chasteberry or vitex. And that's quite wonderful. Now, they talk about wild yam. Really and truly, our bodies can't, although in a laboratory that can be converted to natural progesterone, in our bodies it can't be. So what you would like to do is work through your liver as a cleanser and see how these herbals help you and support you because they're very good herbs.
I just wanted to interject one thing. I've been listening to you for maybe about 20 years, WBA.
Oh, how lovely.
And I started listening when I started having problems with fibroids. And I had quite a bout with it. And they spoke about the same thing, you know, removing the uterus and all that sort of thing. And I was pretty young. But through listening to your station and listening to Majid Ali and Gary Knowles, I started to do a lot of green juicing. And now I have just recently retired. And I really think all my other family went through the hot flashes and the different flashes and what have you, and I did not. And in fact, my body pretty much functions the way, you know, I guess a younger woman's body would function. But I really feel very strong about just focusing on the fundamentals. I agree with you if you're in real trouble. And in your bleeding or whatever's going on of that nature, then yes, you have to have a lot of intervention from people such as yourself. But you're just teaching me, like I'm going to say personally, and other health experts on the station, teaching me about just the fundamentals of the way the body works and how to calm yourself through breathing, all kinds of different aspects that I've learned through WBAI. I really think it has saved me from having my uterus removed and going through a lot more difficulties than I would have because I had difficulties in the beginning of my womanhood.
Thank you so much for sharing. I really appreciate it. Calls like that make us feel like, first of all, that it's all been worth it. 20 years worth of work has been worth it. I really appreciate this call. We have other callers. I'd like to get to them. So thank you so much for calling. And please, when we're on again, call again. Thank you. Hi.
Hi.
You're live on BAI. Your name, please.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, hi. My name is Kurt. I'm actually calling on behalf of my daughter.
I'm sorry?
I'm calling on behalf of my daughter.
Yes.
Okay.
She's 20 years old, and she was diagnosed with ovarian cyst.
Yep.
Her OBGYN put her on birth control?
Yep.
Apparently she did not see any change, so she's recommended that perhaps she undergo a hysterectomy.
No. Oh my God!
Actually,
progesterone is the key here. What cysts are when the corpus luteum forms in the ovaries, it pops through the ovary's wall, and when it fails to do so, that becomes a cyst. And this is a progesterone deficiency syndrome as well. So if you got your daughter on some progesterone, and I would use it the whole month, because the first part of the month, you also are supposed to have loads of progesterone, and this comes from the adrenal glands. And then once you get the corpus luteum from the ovaries, you get a ton more of progesterone. She's very progesterone deficient. Using birth control pills or suppressing ovulation, that's not going to make the cystic part any better. And also the progestins are blocking what progesterone she can make from the adrenals. So progesterone and some daily progesterone, it may not take as much as some of the higher doses we were talking about when people become psychotic, but those cysts should just pop and she'll be just fine.
There's something else you would want to do is that, is she heavy or slight?
You mean as far as her periods or her weight?
Her weight.
She's slight.
Slight, okay. Well, you're still going to want her to keep her insulin down. You're going to want her to get off of sugars so her insulin doesn't spike, because that can be a very direct aggravator and also cause of polycystic ovary disease, which is what you're speaking about. One of the treatments for polycystic ovary disease is metformin. And what does that do? It keeps your insulin down. So keeping her insulin down would be very important for her. Another thing that would be...
And that's limiting carbohydrates will do that.
Yes, limiting carbohydrates and sugars, but eating adequate food, but not allowing that insulin surge. But then another piece of this would be, I love what the last caller did, drinking fresh juices and drinking green juices. I think that's so good for her and so cleansing and so helpful and beneficial. I was so impressed by the last caller and what she did to change herself around. So this is very possible to deal with. Have the patience that you need. And we are not attempting to treat, but we're attempting to support your doctor's holistic treatment of your daughter. And if the doctor doesn't understand the treatment, you could have them call us.
Okay, I was just going to ask, how can she get in contact with you?
Well, there are two numbers.
Okay.
One is my number, my office number, 212-219-0700, and that will connect to my number. And Carol, what would you give out?
608-469-8821.
Okay, so there.
469-8821?
Yes.
Okay.
And both of us will be glad to support her through this, and we'll be glad to talk to her doctors and support them in doing the therapy.
Okay, I'll pass this on to her.
Very good. Very good to speak with you. Thank you for calling. Hello, you're live on BAI.
Hello. Hi.
Oh, I'm so glad you waited.
Yes, I did. I'm glad you take my call. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yes. I want to ask you something real quick because I know you're very busy. I've been eliminating animal products for some time. I think I had a little meat last year, a little dairy recently because I didn't have the vegetarian milk. But I have been losing weight, and I'm very concerned about that. It's mostly muscle. I went to my doctor. He said, listen, just eat three meals a day. And I'm trying to keep to this schedule, but I went back to him again. He's telling me, eat more food. I'm just losing this weight. I'm trying to, they said that you should eat protein with everything that you eat. I got a powder. It's got tea, hemp, chia, and sesame seed in it. I haven't seen anything much weight, maybe a little bit. The muscle is...
You also need to include a hydrochloric acid supplement and digestive enzymes to make sure you're even absorbing it. Or there's a product called Perfect Aminos you can you can add, which is already broken down protein. So your digestive system doesn't have to work hard to have the building blocks. I just saw a doctor say the characteristic of aging is not enough protein and not enough hydration.
Yeah, and what happens is that if you do not have adequate digestible protein, you can't make hydrochloric acid. If you can't make hydrochloric acid, you cannot digest your protein. So you get caught in a circle that you can't get out of. And just like Carol said, and I totally support her in this, I really recommend, and this, I really recommend Perfect Aminos. It is a vegetarian source, so you can take it, but you have to have that protein. What you will find is that not only are your muscles getting weak, but your bones are getting weak also.
Okay, because
so you don't really want that. I recently saw a girlfriend of mine who used to be taller than me, and now she's much shorter than I am.
Yes.
Okay,
what about
and you
HMB?
Don't want that.
HMB? I'm taking that. Beta hydroxymethylbutyrate to get the muscle back. What do you think about that? Is that...
Carol, do you know about that?
HMB.
Yeah. I know it's in the muscle and fitness. Now, butyrate part of it will help your microbiome and help you digest too. But I'd have to look it up again to really be sure.
The most important is
Now, I have a bit of a problem. We're ending our show right now.
Okay, all right.
Oh, and we missed a caller. We had one more.
I'm very sorry.
Still have
you
that
know
one
what?
More caller.
What's that?
We don't have time, do we, Reggie?
If it's real quick.
Okay. Hi, you're live.
Hi, this is Rose, and I just want to say that you ladies should get the prize for this program. It is just what America needs, what the world needs. I buy text my way through what one of my family would get very sick, not me. I took Vitex. You are a national treasure and should be receive the Nobel Prize in Medicine.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
No, for real.
And
no,
I would like to say, Karen,
I tune in every Thursday. God bless
you.
Oh,
that's wonderful. We're ending our show right now. We're just at the end, so I want to thank you. That's the most beautiful way to end. I love it. And I want to thank you for calling in. And Carol, it's always fun. And it's wonderful. And thank you.
I wanted to give out my website one more time because I have everything we talked about PMDD on the latest blog. So it's the wellnessbydesignproject.com. So there's an interview there too, an hour-long interview about this.
And I would love to give out my phone number also, 212-219-0700. And if you and you can text me at 646-734-9437. And we'll be back next week. Thank you so much. And Carol, it sounds like maybe we need a little more time on a correlating subject.
So we'll be back next week. Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In conclusion, I'd like to say, remember, this information is not an attempt to diagnose or a substitute for treatment. As always, we urge you to take this and all other information we share with you up with your healthcare practitioner. Clearly, this comes under the category of taking charge of your health. Thank you so much for spending this time with us, and we'll be back next week.